So I want to talk to you for a few minutes tonight about transition. Everybody say transition. Transition is a passage from one place or from one position to another. It's real simple. Transition is a change or a shift from a place, a position, or a direction. It is movement in our lives. And I believe that the Lord spoke to me that 2017 is to be a year in our lives of transition.
Amen.
Passing from where we are to where it is that He wants to take us. Do you know that not every season is a season of transition? Not every season is a season of transition. Sometimes we're to stabilize and build in a place, but sometimes God calls us to pull up our stakes and to move. And so I feel like that's what I want to share with you about for a few minutes. And I don't normally do this, but I want to read you two stories, two passages of scripture that I believe highlight what the Lord is saying. So if you have your Bibles, Genesis chapter 11. Genesis chapter 11, we're going to read about Abraham, and then we're going to turn to turn over to the book of Joshua and read about Joshua. We're going to read that, and then we're going to take from these stories what I believe just a few points that God wants us to take this year as He speaks to us about this being a year of transition. It should be hopefully on the screen as well. The screen makes us lazy, doesn't it? That's easier even than the tabs in your Bible, right? And so you can look on the screen or you can follow along in your Bibles. Genesis chapter 11, beginning with verse 31. And Terah took his son Abraham to be, and his grandson Lot, the son of Haran, and his daughter-in-law Sarai, his son Abram's wife. And they went out with them from Ur of the Chaldeans to go to the land of Canaan. And they came to Haran and they dwelt there. God brings us to dwelling places. He takes us out so that He can take us in, and He brings us to dwelling places. And there was a season that Abraham was to be in Haran. Verse 32. So the days of Terah were 205 years, and Terah died in Haran. Genesis 12:1. Now the Lord had said to Abraham, get out of or leave your country, from your family and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. Everybody say transition. Verse 2, I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. God couldn't do it in Haran. There had to be a transition in Abraham's life if he was going to come into the promise of God. Where he was a good place, but it wasn't his destined place. There had to be a transition in Abraham's life. I will bless those who bless you. I will curse those who curse you. And in all the families of the earth, you shall be blessed. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken to him. And Lot went with him. And Abraham was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. How many know we're never too old to make a transition? The enemy would many times try to convince us that we've gone too long in this place, or that we're too old, or all these other reasons why God can't do a new thing in our life. But God wants us to know we're never too old to make a divine transition. Verse 5, then Abraham took Sarah his wife and Lot his brother's son and all their possessions that they had gathered and the people whom they had acquired in Haran, and they departed to go to the land of Canaan. So they came to the land of Canaan. Abraham passed through the land to the place of Shechem as far as the terebinth tree of Morah, and the Canaanites were then in the land. Verse 7, then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, to your descendants I will give this land. And there Abram built an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. Joshua chapter 1, if you can flip over there. Joshua 1, beginning with verse 1. These are common scriptures. I know that you know them. Joshua 1:1. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise. Everybody say arise. Go over, transition over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. Verse 3, every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Verse 10. Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, pass through the camp and command the people, saying, prepare provisions for yourselves, for within 3 days you will transition. You will cross over this Jordan to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God is giving you to possess. Transition. It's the passage from one place or position to a new place. I believe that this is to be a year in all of our lives where transition is to take place. Now, what that looks like for you and what that looks like for me and what that looks like for us corporately is all going to be different. But I believe the Holy Spirit is saying that this is a year where there is a grace to transition. There's not always a time to change. There's not always a time to move. There's not always a time to go over. But I believe the Lord is saying that now is the time for transition in our lives. There's some real similarities between these two stories. I would say this, that both Abraham and Joshua, they were both residing in a place that was no longer to be the place. They were both residing in a place that God was saying, it's no longer going to be the place for your lives. It wasn't that they had been in the wrong place. Do you follow what I'm saying? And Stephen and I were talking about this afternoon, the word that Miss Sandy shared on Sunday. You know, new beginnings doesn't mean wiping out everything God did before. New beginnings, in a way, you kind of think about this, it's kind of like a skyscraper that's going up. It's time. God's ready to start a new floor on top of what He's already done. It's a new beginning. It's a new start. It's a new place. And when God says it's a time to transition, it's not necessarily that He's moving us out of the wrong place. But because for Abraham and Joshua both, I believe that they were in the right place. But God was saying that it was to no longer be the place. That God had another place that He wanted to move them into. It had been God's place for that season, but God was calling them into a season of transition. Hadn't been the wrong place. Now think about this in our lives. It's not that we've... Now we can be in the wrong place. And we need to ask the Lord if we have been. But I'm really talking to the church tonight about where God has brought us no longer being the place where He wants us to stay. It's not that it's been the wrong place, because it took a miracle from God for us to get to this place. Did it not? If it wasn't for the hand of God, we'd have never been here where we're at tonight. This has been a good place. This is a place where we can give thanks. This is a place of testimony of the goodness of God. This is a place of the strength of God and the grace of God that brought us this far. From grace to grace and from glory to glory. This has been a good place with God. God had led Abraham to Haran. And God had led the children of Israel to the wilderness. And the wilderness was a considerable step up from the bondage of Egypt. The wilderness was a good place. They were free. It was a good place, but it wasn't their destined place. It wasn't their destined place. God was saying, this is a good place, but this isn't where I intend for you to stop. I have a transition that you have to make. Let me say this. It had been the right place for both Abraham and Joshua. However, and this is really the cry of what I feel like the Spirit of God is saying. The right place will eventually become the wrong place if we aren't willing to transition or move with God. The right place will eventually become the wrong place if we aren't willing to transition or move when the Spirit of God says to move. The fruitful place will become a barren place if we don't embrace the season of God's transition in our lives. Psalms 37:23 says the steps of a good, I'll make it politically correct, right? Person. It says steps of a good man, but we know what God meant. The steps of a good man are what? They're ordered by God. At the right time, God will call us to transition to the next step. And I believe that God says there are steps that we need to take this year so that we can move from this good place to God's place in 2017. You know, At one time, this level that we're on was a higher level for us, right? The level that we're on right now seemed unattainable to us. We got, how will I ever live like that? How will I ever have that faith? How will I ever be able to face those things? And for a long time, it was like we were scraping and we were clawing, and it took the grace of God and the hand of God for us to get to where we are now. But how many of you know that once you arrive there, it's no longer a climb, but it becomes a plateau in our life? We've all grown in areas of our life in God. The place that used to be a challenge and it used to be a struggle has now become to us the familiar. It was a good place. It was a God place, but it is not our destined place. God is not through with any of us yet. And he is saying that this is a season to grab hold of the Spirit and the grace of God, to transition from where we are to the next step in our journey with him. Amen. If I'm going to get from Haran to Canaan, there's going to have to be a transition. If I'm going to get from this good wilderness that I'm in to the land of promise, there's going to have to be a transition. There will have to be a moment in time where I step out from where I am and I step into where God is leading me. Amen. Where is God leading us this year? Where is the Spirit of God challenging us that we're to go next? Because I believe God is saying it's time to move. The scripture says that we move from grace to grace and from glory to glory. And how many of you know that when God initiates transition in our lives, that it's life changing? Now listen, I know you and I both have done this. We've tried to move on our own time. We've tried to move in our own way. We've tried to choose our own destinations. We've tried to create seasons of transition in our life when God wasn't saying it was a season of transition. And all of us have to take this word. You have to judge. You have to take it before the Lord. But when God's grace is on something and when God says to go, you remember the children of Israel, God said, go. And when they say, oh, no, not now. And then God said, fine, stay where you're at. And they said, okay, we'll go. And then God said, well, you can go, but I'm not going with you. We got to get on the same page with the Spirit of God. If we will get on the same page with the Spirit of God, what was going to be impossible becomes possible. What would have been very hard becomes easy. Do you know what I'm talking about? When God gets involved in transition in our life, it's life changing. And I don't know what it means to you, but it's a transition from heaviness to praise, from mourning to joy, right? From darkness to light, from lost to being found, from chaos to peace, from broken to being mended. But there are places that God wants to transition in our life. And if we will get in the flow of the Spirit and we will hear the voice of the Lord and we will grab a hold of what it is that he wants us to do, those barren places, those lifeless places in our life will be brought into a season of, what did the Norton say? A season of harvest. Amen. Amen. A next level, as Chris was talking about. New beginnings in our life, as Sister Sandy said. But we must know this, divine transition requires our participation. Amen. Divine transition requires our participation. The children of Israel, when presented with an opportunity for transition the first time around, sent 12 guys out there to see what they thought about it. And way over the majority came back and said, no, we can't do this now. And they missed their season of transition. And because they missed their season of transition, they forfeited their inheritance. And the good place that God brought them became the place where they were laid to rest. And God doesn't want us to stop where we are. God doesn't want us to settle for how far we've come. He wants us to lift up our eyes and look at where it is that he's promised us that he wants to take us. Five keys real quick. I don't have long. About 3 minutes a key. Five keys to navigating this season of transition. If it's going to be a year of transition, if there's going to be a passage from where I am to where it is that God wants me to be in my marriage or in my finances or in his call upon my life or in my business or in my relationships, whatever it is, if there's going to be transition in my life, then there's going to have to be some things that I do. Number one, we must hear God. We must hear God. We cannot undervalue, we cannot overemphasize the importance of hearing from God. Joshua's transition began with hearing God. Joshua 1:1, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke. Everybody say the Lord spoke. To Joshua, the son of Nun. And he said this, Moses, my servant's dead. Now therefore, arise, go over this Jordan. He said, it's time to transition. It's time to move. It's time to get up. It's time to leave this place. And the voice of the Lord came to Joshua and initiated the transition in his life. We have to have hearing ears. Or we won't hear the voice of the Lord. We have to make His voice a priority. All of us do that. It's a fight. Isn't it a fight? Anybody been serving the Lord for 40 years, 50 years, 30 years, 2 days, whatever? It's always a fight to make the voice of God a priority in our lives. We have to make it a priority. And we have to listen for what it is that He wants to say to us. And I would say this, that God's voice, if you look all throughout Scripture and you look at any time in your life, God's voice always precedes the miraculous. God's voice will always precede the miraculous. And if we expect God to do something without hearing His voice, then we've got it mixed up. We've got to hear a word from God. And let me just make a couple of comments. God does speak. God does speak. Hebrews 1 says, God, who at various times and various ways spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by His Son. God speaks. God speaks, and let me just say this, we can hear Him. If we're born of God and we have the Spirit of God on the inside of us, God is speaking and we can hear Him. The lie of the enemy would say, you're not pastor or you're not evangelist or you're not a prophet or you haven't been walking close enough to God and all these things. The enemy tries to throw that you're not the right stature or you don't have the ability or God's not speaking to you. But we have to bring all of those things down because our transition and our moving ahead is always going to be dependent upon the voice of the Lord. And we've got to be a people that learn. And so what we got to do is we got to make a space and we got to put Him on our schedule. We got to make a space for the voice of God in our life and we got to put Him on our schedule. Anything that's important enough to go on our schedule, how many of you know God's voice needs to be on our schedule? And you remember back in the Old Testament, I can't quote the scriptures quite like my brother Jerry or my dad, but remember the whole story. It was like, He was looking for Him in the earthquake, looking for Him in the fire, and look out. It was a still small voice of God. God wants to speak to us. He does speak, so we can hear Him. And let me just say this, we have to hear Him. We have to hear Him because His voice is the voice that provides me with direction. His voice is the voice that protects me from danger. His voice is the voice that reveals His plans for our lives. And just think about this. He's a good father. How many of you believe He's a good father? And the scripture says if we earthly fathers know how to do good things for our kids, how much more does our heavenly Father want to do good things for us? Does Jeremiah not tell us that He has plans for our life, plans for good, not for evil, to give us a future and a hope? If He's a good father and He has good plans for our life, how many of you know a good dad's going to sit down and share those plans with his children? And that's exactly what God was doing with Joshua in Joshua chapter 1. He said, I've got somewhere I want you to go, and let me tell you how it is that you're going to get there. And last but certainly not least is this, His voice produces faith in my heart. Yes, it does. Let me say it again, y'all don't get excited about that. Amen. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. If we're not hearing God, even if I know where it is that I'm supposed to go, I'm not going to have the faith to make the step. I have to hear the voice of God. Listen to Jeremiah 7:24. This is a heartbreaking verse, but I believe many times it has mirrored our lives. It says in the NLT, but my people would not listen to me. They kept on doing whatever they wanted, following the stubborn desires of their evil hearts. They went backwards instead of forwards. And in 2017, God does not want our testimony to be that we transition backwards. Anytime God gets involved, He wants us to be moving forward in Jesus' name. And so God speaks. We must hear the voice of the Lord. He speaks to us by the Holy Spirit. And Joshua 1:8, how else does He speak to us? This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night. God speaks. Listen, God will speak to you. God has answers for you. His general will is all in here, what we're supposed to do. But how many of you know the Spirit of God is on the inside of us and He will reveal His specific will to us. He will give us strategies and He will give us direction and He will speak to us if we give Him the time. Number two, we must leave the past. If we're going to transition into the next place that God has for us, transition will always require us to leave some things behind. Deuteronomy 34 verse 5 says this, I think it's so interesting. So Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab, according to the word of the Lord. And he, God, buried him. Wouldn't that be cool for God to perform your funeral like that? In a valley in the land of Moab, opposite Beth Peor. But get this, but no one knows his grave to this day. God buried him, and no one knows where God buried him. Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eyes were not dim, nor his natural vigor diminished. And the children of Israel wept for Moses in the plains of Moab 30 days. So the days of weeping and mourning for Moses ended. See, Moses had brought them this far, but he wasn't making this transition with them. God didn't want them sitting down where Moses died. That's why God hid his grave. He didn't want them establishing a tabernacle and setting up tent there. So he said, look, I'm going to take care of Moses because it's time for you to leave this behind. It's time we'll always be required to leave some things behind. Some of them were really good things in our life. Maybe good relationships. Maybe some good things in our life that we really enjoy. But when God calls us to transition, it will always require us to leave some things behind. Now, you know, Moses was a good thing. But what God said to Joshua was, Moses, my servant, is dead. Leave him where he is. Arise and go across the Jordan. So this year, God is saying to us, there are some things in our life that he is going to call us to leave behind. Now, we don't need to be making those choices. We need to be hearing from God about the things in our life that we are need to be willing to lay down. Paul said in Philippians 3:13, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. Another version or NLT says it like this. He said, I'm focusing all my energies on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. If we're going to have a successful transition in our life, there are going to have to be some things that we're willing to leave behind. There are some things that we just can't transition with. Listen, let me just name a few. We will never make the transition that God's calling us to with offense in our heart. We will never make the transition that God's calling us to with unforgiveness in our heart. We will never make the transition with pride, self-dependence, an unteachable spirit, hardness of heart, critical and judgmental spirits, an unwillingness to change, or crutches. You know, Joshua could have used Moses as a crutch and said, you know, I've always served him. He's always been beside me. God, I just can't do it without Moses. And so there are some things in our life that prevent us from moving forward. And God wants us to know that this is a year that he wants us to move forward. And there are some things that he's called us to leave behind. He's calling us to leave behind, as Abraham did, the known place, the familiar place, the easy place. And if we're willing to surrender those things and look unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. Can you say amen?
Amen.
So let's just stop for just a second. So let's just close our eyes right here. And let's just give the Holy Spirit room in our life. And let's just tell the Holy Spirit, whatever it is in my life that would hinder me, be it doubt, be it unbelief, be it a hard heart, be it a wrong spirit, be it crutches in my life, dependencies on things other than you. Holy Spirit, whatever it is in my life that would hinder me from making transition this year, we invite you to open our eyes and our ears and our hearts and show us in Jesus' name. Now, if you prayed that and you meant it, watch out. Right? Because your spouse might point something out to you tonight. Right? Listen, seriously, many times in our life we are prevented from going forward because we have things that we're not willing to lay down. It's not that we're not God's people. It's not that we don't love the Lord. But honestly, many times we're deceived. Paul said, don't deceive yourselves. Scripture says that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who could know it? And without the Holy Spirit opening our eyes, and unless we're willing to have a teachable spirit so someone can speak into our lives. Listen, this is something we all struggle with. I'm not teaching you this. We're talking about it, right? We have to have an openness to God because all of us have blind spots in our life that have prevented us from moving forward. And we don't want to be people like that. And what it comes back to is we may not know it and we may not understand it and we may not see it, but if we will listen for the Holy Spirit and have a heart that says, God, show me, I'm willing to change. I'm willing to leave it behind. How many of you know He'll be faithful to help us through that transition? Number three, we have to face our fears. If we're going to transition, we're going to have to face some fears in our life. Anybody got any fears in your life? Two of us. Wow. Where's the rest of y'all? Y'all are... We're going to have a seminar here this weekend. We got a lot of teachers on how to overcome fear. Joshua 1:9, have I not commanded you? God was speaking to Joshua, be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed. He must have been fighting fear if God saw the need to tell him, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Don't be dismayed. Don't be discouraged because I am with you wherever you go. Fear will keep us from transitioning in our lives. It will always pop up its head when we go to make a step. It will pop up its head and fear will be there. Fear of failure. Anybody ever thought that? Well, God, if I do it, what happens if I don't do it right and I mess this thing up? Has anybody ever thought that way, felt that way? Fear of failure. Fear of the unknown. God, wait, transit across. I don't even know what's over there. I thought you had Moses. He was going to do all this. Fear of the unknown. Fear of others. What are other people going to think about me? What are other people going to say if I do this? How many of you are going to have to face some of those fears in our life? Those fears keep us in check so many times in our lives. So many times we don't know that we're even checkmated by a spirit of fear, but fear is dominating and controlling our lives many times. But how many of you know that God has not given us a spirit of fear?
Amen.
So this is me and Jillian. We've been since she was young. Wait, is she in here? No. God has not given me a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And then we say this, fear, get out of here in Jesus' name. Fear, get out of here in Jesus' name. The enemy wants to use fear to keep us out of our promised land. But how many know we got to rise up in the spirit? We got to rise up and take dominion. We got to rise up and speak to those fears and say, I fear God. I don't fear you in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. So we have to face our fears. For we did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but we have received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. Point is this. The enemy wants us to put us in fear. What God says is this. You're my kiddos. I'm with you. Just call on your daddy. I'm with you. I'll never leave you or forsake you. I'm good. I can do this. I can do this because my Father is with me. Number four, we're getting ready to close. Y'all can go ahead and start some music. Number four, we must pursue His presence. Everybody say pursue His presence. Pursue His presence. Joshua 3:1, then Joshua rose early in the morning. They set out from Acacia Grove and came to the Jordan, he and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before they crossed over. Verse 2, so it was after 3 days that the officers went through the camp, and they commanded the people, saying, when you see the ark, everybody say the presence of God. When you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests, the Levites, bearing it, then you shall set out from your place and go after it. And go after it. And go after it. We got to go after the presence of the Lord. We got to go after the presence of the Lord. Listen, if we're going to move from where we are to where it is that He's calling us to be, if we're going to be a people that can step into this season of divine transition, then we have to be a people that pursue the very presence of God. Joshua said, when you see it, go after it. We go after a lot of things, don't we? We go after a lot of things. We go after a lot of things, but if we're going to go where God wants us to go, then we're going to have to go after His presence. Romans 8:14 says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And lastly, number five, we must take a step of faith. We must be willing to take a step of faith. Verse 14 of chapter 3 in Joshua says, so it was when the people set out from their camp to cross over the Jordan with the priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant before the people. And as those who bore the Ark came to the Jordan, and the feet of the priest who bore the Ark. I love the way it says this. God spoke and told them what to do. And when they did it, and they stepped out in faith, God did what they couldn't do.
Amen.
What God is calling us to will be impossible. Everybody say it's impossible. With ourselves. If God's calling us to anything other than the impossible with our humanness, then it's not going to be God. It says that when the feet of the priest who bore the ark dipped in the edge of the water, for the Jordan overflows all its banks during the whole time of harvest. So God called them to transition when the Jordan River was at its max capacity. It was at flood stage. And God said, now go. Now go. Oh, it's impossible. He said, when you put your tiptoe out of obedience in faith in the direction that I've called you to go, the scripture says that the waters which came down from upstream stood still and rose in a heap very far away at Adam. Verse 17, then the priest who bore the ark of the covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of the Jordan, and all Israel crossed over on dry ground until all the people had crossed completely over the Jordan. Mary Forsyth said it like this. She said, it's not good enough to have a bucket of paint. You got to take the brush. You got to put the paint on the wall. Listen, we got to hear God, and then we got to do it. It's that simple. We got to hear God, and then we got to do it. If you'll stand to your feet. The scripture says it like this. Jesus said this. He said, whoever hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who builds his house on the rock. How many of you know it's good to hear God? But how many of you know then that we've got to step out and trust Him, that He's going to do what He said He would do? But He said if we hear Him and we don't apply it, if we just let it sit there, how many of you know that we're not going to be brought into the land that He wants to bring us into? Let's lift our hands tonight before the Lord. What I'd like for us to do in closing tonight is just ask the Holy Spirit tonight. There's 5 points and there's a bunch of scriptures and all that, but the heart of what I felt like that I was supposed to convey to you was that the place that you're in, don't despise the day of small beginnings. Don't despise where you're at. We're thankful, O Lord, for where you have brought us. God, we're thankful for this place that you have brought us to. God, there's so many testimonies here. There's so many good things here. God, it was your miraculous hand that brought us to this place. God, we didn't come to this place. God, we don't devalue this place. God, we say thank you for this place. To God be the glory for what you have done. But God, we want to be passionate to pursue your presence. When the cloud moves, we want to move. When the pillar of fire moves, we want to move. When the ark moves, we want to pursue it, oh God. And God, this year, God, we need you to reveal to us. God, we're going to sit before your feet, God. We're going to have open ears as you begin to speak to us about areas in our life, God, that you want to move up. New beginnings, a higher place, seasons of harvest, transition from where I am, from a place to the place that you're calling me to, God.